you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Pitching coach Tommy Hottovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hottovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. I was a finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was, too, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hottovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mullin Haw.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hottovy on 670 The Score.
Tommy! Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the Cubs pitching coach. Tommy Hottovy joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check them out, aturo.com. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys? Good morning.
Doing all right.
We're holding up. We're doing okay. Very curious. We watched with bated breath all the information on Justin Steele, and I'm just curious, the plan is for him to play long toss today. Is that it?
Well, I think the number one thing with Justin, we just wanted to see how he wakes up, how he feels. You know, obviously, like, he was pretty stiff, I think, yesterday, just from the MRI portion of it. It's never, you're never in good, like, comfortable positions for anybody that's ever gotten an MRI or especially one on your arm or your forearm that kind of puts you in some weird position. So definitely wanted to see how he presented today, how he plays catch. You know, I think we have a plan of kind of how we'd like Justin to progress over the next, you know, 3 to 4 days. But again, a lot of it's just still going to be managing some symptoms. It was very, very encouraging to get the news that we got yesterday. There wasn't really anything, you know, structurally, you know, wrong. Probably more just like some tendonitis, some stiffness in there that just needs to kind of work itself out. So, you know, we should know more today, like you said, after we play catch and get kind of a better read on where it is.
Tommy, as encouraging as the news was yesterday, over the next three or four days, as you get more information, how will that be weighed against or compared to where you are in the standings relative to the wild card race, and what consideration will be placed on possibly not bringing him back or rushing him back if you guys are further out of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think number one, we got to do what's best for Justin. I think, you know, obviously we want him as part of our push here, and whether it's, you know, we push his start back, you know, 4 to 5 days, or it is a potential minimum IL stint. Like, all those things are going to be things we consider, and still, you know, with the vision of hoping that he can still make, you know, like 3 or 4 starts as this season winds down. And obviously, we're, you know, we have every intent, and our focus is on winning every game we can over the next, you know, 3 weeks to put us in a good position to make that final push that last, you know, 10 days of the season. So there are a lot of things up in the air. There's a lot of balls up in the air, but I think we're trying to take this day to day right now. And obviously, if things change as we get closer to, you know, that last week of the season, we'll obviously adjust from there.
Tommy, we've talked about some of the bullpen problems that you've had and some of the difficulty over the course of the year in kind of closing games. The last two games, you ran afoul of a little issue, right? Lopez had been pitching so well, and then he gets hit, and then Tyson Miller yesterday. It's just unfortunate, I suppose, that that happens on days that you're not really getting enough run support.
Yeah, those are the days. I mean, the offense has been so just outstanding over the last 2 weeks and has really been carrying our team. And you know, as a pitching group, you feel that. You feel that momentum. And there's definitely that little bit of, you know, you can tell when the offense is grinding a little bit. You can tell when it's going to be a pitcher's duel, and you just got to make pitches. And again, not try to do too much in those situations. I think the Lopez one, like he had been so good for us, and he has and will be so good for us in those big moments. He gave up a bloop single. He gave up a swinging, what we call a swinging bunt, to those infield singles that kind of off the end of the bat. And then it's a blast, a three-run homer right after it. You know, it happened so fast that it took really only one pitch. You know, it's like you look at the result right of him giving up three runs, but it was two really good pitches that guys just happened to find holes on, and he makes one mistake and he pays for it, you know, and then he throws the sinker in the McCutcheon, you know, 1-1. It was a ball in off the plate, and McCutcheon, just a good hitter, took his hands inside to the ball and hit it for the second homer. So, you know, it's like if he does that same thing again tonight or tomorrow, he's probably going to have success. Just one of those nights where the other team beat you. And that's the important part to remember. There's going to be games where you feel like you beat yourself. Like last night, like Tyson threw a 1-2 fastball right down the middle, walked the hitter, and then gave up a homer. You know, those, you kind of put yourself into traffic and they made you pay versus executing pitches. Hitters are good too, and they're working on executing what they're trying to do, and sometimes that happens.
Tommy, as a close personal friend of Travis Kelce, what role did you play, if any, in the Taylor Swift lucky candle?
You know, there are just these patterns to winning teams, you know, I feel like. And for some reason, the name Taylor Swift being associated with Taylor Swift has turned out to be a good luck for some people. So it was pretty funny. We rolled through that first candle, and we were like, okay, we need another candle. So they did like kind of a ceremonial passing of the torch from one to the other. And, you know, now we got to get this one locked in.
It's time for another candle.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if you saw, the NFL had a hype video, like they're promoting the start of their season. And like Joe Burrow, not shown once. Very few of the big stars shown. Taylor, 5 times. She had 5 appearances in the hype video.
And star power.
That's hysterical.
It's amazing. And it shows you just how, like, I've talked about this before, just being a father of an 11-year-old daughter. You know, it's football fans in Kansas City are completely different now than they were, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Well, we'll get back to baseball in a second, but how are you doing with the Chiefs and the Ravens starting tomorrow night? Opening the NFL season is going to be right here on the Score, by the way. Are you ready for this Chiefs season? Are you predicting a three-peat?
I mean, we have to be pumped for the opportunity for the three-peat. We have an off day tomorrow, so it's great way to start the football season. You know, don't love we're playing the Ravens right out of the gate, though. I mean, with them adding Derrick Henry and looking at that offense, they've always caused some trouble. And it's gonna be a fun game. It's gonna be a fun way to start the season. Looking forward to it, obviously. And yeah, it should be an exciting season.
Well, back to baseball. I'm curious. I was just going through the Twitter feed yesterday, and they showed Shota Imanaga showing up yesterday wearing a Walter Payton jersey. And I thought to myself, like, wow, if ever a guy was kind of adapting to his newfound hometown, it's got to be Shota. I mean, just seems like a great dude. And then embracing kind of the local stuff too. It must be a ton of fun to deal with that guy. He just seems like a special guy.
He is. I mean, he is. He's everything that comes as advertised. The things that you see and the stories you hear and the way he treats people and talks to people. I mean, he's the real deal. And it was funny when we did the football jersey trip. you know, he was like kind of asking around, like, okay, what jersey should I get? Who should I wear? And asking all the players. And it's so funny. Like, he was like, he knew he wanted to be a Bears jersey. And he had no idea who Walter Payton was, and everybody was telling him to be Walter Payton. And he started doing some research and, you know, digging on who Walter Payton was. He wasn't going to make that choice lightly. And then he kind of, you know, got to know him and the career he had and all that stuff. And so, yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm Walter Payton. I'm Walter Payton. I'm going to wear Walter Payton. You know? So he was it was pretty cool. It was fun to see him kind of, like, go to his teammates to kind of help him make that decision, too. It was awesome.
Another guy easy to respect is Kyle Hendricks. He was essentially demoted, or at least the conversation surrounding him after his last start before last night, Tommy, as you know, was he was going to come out of the bullpen, and then the Justin Steele injury happens, and Kyle steps in last night, goes 5 innings, 2 runs. Solid performance. His state of mind doesn't change. He seems to take the same approach. How would you describe the last week that Kyle Hendricks has endured from the last start in Pittsburgh where he got knocked around pretty good to last night where he was pretty consistent?
Yeah, I mean, it's the definition of Kyle Hendricks. It, you know, that week would have affected probably most of us a lot differently than it does Kyle. He's the same guy every day. He knows what he needs to do. He doesn't try to do more than that. He learns from his mistakes and he makes quick adjustments. And look, like, you know, he knew the game in Pittsburgh wasn't his best, didn't go the way he wanted to. We kind of had schemes on the ropes early, and he, you know, felt like he let him back in the game. And last night, you know, he just took the approach of, like, I'm not going to try to do more. I'm going to be me. I'm going to execute my pitches, and I'm going to give the team a chance to win. And he did that. You know, he gave us 5 solid innings, 2 runs, and really it was just that one inning where he had a lot of traffic. But that's just Kyle. You know, he's not affected by a lot of things. There's a lot of noise, a lot of moving back and forth between pen, rotation, and he'll do whatever we need to win ball games right now. That's what you love about a guy like Kyle and the leader that he is.
I'm curious, when you see schemes, you've seen him a couple of times. I mean, as a pitching coach, do you look at a guy like that and think, my God, the things I could do with that guy? Or do you think, like, damn it, we don't want to face him?
No, I mean, I think we all see the talent. You see stuff, the raw stuff that comes out of him. You understand why he was, you know, 1-1 overall for a reason. Like, when you have that kind of stuff and the physicality and the delivery and everything about it, you definitely see that. And I think I look at it this way. It's like, yeah, it's tough that we don't have him. He's not on our team, but I think it's great for baseball. I think it's because we talk so much about having good young hitters. You see, like, Jackson Merrill doing what he's doing, PCA's kind of coming into his home. Those are exciting young players, and you can have that on the pitching side. You know, I think the hitting side, you get to see it a little bit more often because they're playing every day. PCA's hitting inside the park homers and making great plays in the outfield, and it's so exciting. And then you see a guy like Paul Skenes, and you know, it's great for baseball. It's fun. You want to see some of the best of the best. You want to go up against those guys. And yeah, it'll be fun. Obviously, we'll see him a bunch over the years. And you hope a guy like that stays healthy and has success, so you can see him for a long time.
So I thought Craig Council put it well yesterday when he was on the radio station talking about Jorge Lopez. He's not only been good for the Cubs, he's been great. And up until the other night, his ERA was below 1, I believe. Every time you went to him, it seemed like he delivered. So when he has a struggle and a game like he did, when he blows the lead as he did, what's that conversation like afterward? What do you say to him? Do you leave him alone, Tommy? Do you talk to him about what went wrong? I know he's been kind of nursing an injury as well. How did that conversation go after that collapse?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you give him some love. You let him know that, you know, hey, you – we'll follow up on the game, on the outing the next day. You know, I don't like to linger on stuff right away after games like that. I think you let the emotions calm down. You let some of that stuff kind of calm down, and then you kind of revisit it the next day. And the biggest thing for Jorge is, you know, when he's right and he's healthy and feeling great, it's just about getting him back out there. It's like, okay, here's what we could have done differently. Here's some things that we felt like we did well, just didn't go our way. And now you go back out there and do it again. And, you know, this time of year, especially with a lot of these guys who've been throwing most of the season, you just, everybody's banged up a little bit. So you're trying to navigate, you know, getting them in there in good situations and high-level situations, but also not wearing them out to the fact that they're not recovering, they're nursing, like you said, like some nagging injuries. And so you're trying to balance that. You're trying to balance all that. But he's been such a pro. He's done it before. Like, good high-leverage relievers are going to give up runs in big moments. It's going to happen. That's why you put them in those situations. But the best ones are the ones that can take that, come back the next day, and go compete and help the team win.
You guys have you've really been on a roll. I mean, you've had a lot of success, a great road trip, and now you come home. And I'm just curious, when like kind of the winning portion, you know, like you've lost two games, does that impact anybody? Do you understand? You play so many games, and you know that you've got to maintain the same level. Does it change when you're in a playoff race?
Yeah, I mean, I think you feel it. I think, you know, we've earned the right to feel it. I think, you know, going on that road trip and going 8-1 and putting us in a good position, like, we knew we had a hill to climb. And we can't lose sight of what we did the last 10 days because we lost two games. You know, I think we know what we need to do, and it's just about winning the next day, finding a way to win, finding a way to compete. That's what we did on that road trip. It was like, all right, we won one, now let's win two. We won two, now let's win three. You know, let's win the series. And so it's very important in these moments. Like, you lose two games like that, you feel like, okay, the two losses feel heavy, way heavier than the eight wins did. And that's a tough place to be. So, yeah, just getting back to what we do well as a group, focusing on that, executing today, win today, and then get ready for the big series this weekend.
Christian Bethencourt has been unbelievable at the plate as a spot starter at catcher. And I just wonder, I also saw him referred to, one of the Cubs, I think, infielders say he is the strongest arm they'd ever seen throwing the ball down to second base. How is his arm relative to others you have seen, Tommy? And how would you describe Bethencourt's kind of sudden emergence? It's been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it is an absolute cannon. There's a reason why teams have tried him on the mound as a pitcher in his career. It's electric. It's the way it just, like, the ball jumps out of his hand. It's clean. He's fun to watch throw because a lot of catchers, you look at pop times and you see you want guys to have a quick release. Bethencourt's got a good enough arm. His, it almost looks like he's winding up and just firing it to home plate. You know, it's kind of a smoother delivery when he's throwing to second base, but it absolutely shoots out of his hand. And it's one of the best that I've ever been around. The way he throws, it's methodical, it's smooth, and that's just kind of his personality too. He's just a very calm, smooth guy, and then, you know, when it's a big moment, he steps up. It's been really fun. It's been a lot of fun to have around. It's been great for some of these young pitchers, just kind of giving them that calm and that confidence when they're out there competing. Just a really good tandem with Amaya right now.
You guys have done a good job with being able to get veteran catchers off the market and having them fit in. It seems like Amaya is evening out that position a little. You know, the fact that he's been hitting more is huge just for the future of the team. Where are you at when you deal with these guys? Is it working out pretty well?
Yeah. I mean, I think it starts with the foundation of having, you know, Amaya, you know, be with this group all year. Just, again, another guy who is very calm. He understands game calling. He dives into the game calling. He knows what our pitcher's strengths are. And just guys that are willing to form those relationships with the pitchers goes such a long way. And they ask the right questions. They're not afraid to go out on the limb and say, like, hey, I feel like we have something here. I relate it to, like, the quarterback in football, who the coach is calling plays and they're putting these schemes in play, and the quarterback goes out there for two series, like, hey, they're going too high safety. I think we have this play. I think we could do this. You know, like, our catchers are very aware and in tune, like, hey, this is what we want to do, but this is what I'm seeing. This is, I feel like, the approach they're taking. And to be able to have those conversations in-game, talk through that with the pitchers, talk through that with how we want to attack hitters, it's been really fun to be a part of, and those guys do a fantastic job.
All right, the Yankees are coming to town. Who do you pitch around? Soto, Judge, none of the above, all of the above?
Well, I know the seasons that Soto and Judge are having, it's, you know, when you're going through data and you're looking at video and watching the bats, they've had just fantastic years. I think, you know, for us, though, we have to go at them. You know, we have to go at these guys. We have to show them that we're, you know, they're big boys in that lineup, but you can't be afraid. You can't pitch scared. Now, you obviously want to be able to navigate situations and understanding, you know, when Judge is up or some of these big guys are up in big moments, like making sure that you understand the totality of the situation you're in. But again, you got to be aggressive and attack these guys. They're, you know, having great years, but they're still hitting, you know, they're still getting out 70% of the time. So taking advantage of that and staying on the attack, I think it's going to be key against two tough series coming in a row after this one.
Great stuff, Tommy. Really appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Tommy.
Of course. Have a great day. Thanks, guys.
You too.
Yeah, the correct answer to that question would be yes.
Yes.
Who do you pitch around?
Is yes.
Soto or Judge?
Both.
Yes.
Or
yes.
I love the idea of going right at him. I don't know how that will turn out. Yeah. A lot of pitching staffs try. And then to follow that up with having to go against the Dodgers with Otani and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and the boy, that's just the next two series after this one, marquee matchups, but also really tough challenges for this pitching staff.
The Ron Marquis?
That too.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes would be the answer to that one. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
There we go. There we go. Let's focus. Let's get after it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Are you ready? Are you ready for it?
That was a perfect way to end Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
The perfect image, the perfect speaker, the really well done Caleb Williams talking about focus, putting his helmet on, getting ready for the season ahead. That's the metaphor. That's the symbolism. And then taking the deep breath. Everybody relax. Exhale. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fun. Buckle up. Yeah, I'm ready. Okay. Let's go.
Right.
Sunday at noon. I know it's only, what time is it? Wednesday, 9:30-ish. Seems like a while to wait, but there's football tomorrow night. There's football Friday night. There's college football Saturday. There's all kinds of stuff going on to keep our attention away from the Cubs and the White Sox.
Jeez.
And yeah, Sunday on the lakefront, Caleb Williams says, focus. And good things will happen.
You know, we're not far away from having a good feeling about the Cubs. Honest to God. I know no one believes that because of what happened yesterday and really the last 2 days. But nonetheless, we're not that far away. We may have a good feeling before it's all done.
It's September. That might be true. If you're talking to me on August 4th, I'd be, you're right.
Okay.
It's September 4th. They had an opportunity in the last 2 nights to take care of business. They didn't. Down on the Cubs right now.
Yeah, I don't
down on
you.
The Cubs. Not feeling it.
it's fair to be down.
It's football season.
It's so great to have football ready. It's just so wonderful. We've needed this. If you were a son of the South Side, you'd be the happiest man in America. Good God. Just not having to watch that. I mercifully saw the beginning of the game and then was like, okay, there's no point in that. And then I started getting some friends texting me that horrible play.
Yeah, that's worth ignoring.
Just like, oh,
Cubs are worth ignoring. It's football season, which is why 670 The Score and Circus Sports Illinois are teaming up to celebrate the start of football season next Thursday, week from tomorrow, September 12th, 10 until 6. Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi and the afternoon show will be doing their shows live from the Lake Street Plaza at Prudential. There will be food trucks, games, much more stuff throughout the day. Next Thursday, September 12th, 10 to 6, with The Score and Circa Sports Illinois. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Don't forget, before the Bears take on Tennessee, you should tune in Sunday mornings from 9 to noon for the Local Four Dealers pregame show. It's right here on 670 The Score. Presented by Busey Bank and Aurelio's. You can join Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and me. And we'll get you set for the game. And then immediately following the game, you join the three of us again. We'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. And that will stream exclusively this week on The Score's YouTube and Twitch channels due to the Cubs game.
And I think only because of our, not only because of our conversation earlier, or the focus of Dustin's wrath, perhaps, I should say, we'd like to wish Montez Sweat a happy 28th birthday.
Yeah, how about it?
Montez Sweat turns 28 today. He will celebrate it on the practice field where he will return to, right? He's going to be back on the practice field where he sets the example for the other young Bears to follow.
I mean, I got to tell you, I thought that was kind of an outrageous moment.
I'm just trying to trigger a response.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry. I got to look.
I did not think that was appropriate, but that's my opinion, and I've been told to keep it to myself.
This is a fair question about Montez Sweat, because I've kind of changed the designation. I came into the preseason, and this is, I'm sure, get a texter telling me I'm over my skis and I'm full of it again. But
full of it.
Coming into the preseason, I felt like Montez Sweat was the most indispensable Bear.
Yes.
And that's now fair. I think he is the most indispensable defensive Bear.
Ooh.
I look at this season, and if they didn't have Montez Sweat and they still had Caleb Williams,
ooh, boy,
I would still have some optimism about the season.
Okay.
Now, and if they
you're going too far.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
I think if they still had Montez, if they had Caleb Williams and not Montez Sweat, so I think that I want to be fair here. Because if they didn't have Caleb Williams and they did have Montez Sweat, I would have a different level of expectation and excitement for this Bears season. So therefore, my argument would be Caleb Williams has surpassed Montez Sweat in my mind as the most indispensable Bear.
Okay. I can't agree with that because I think... And stay with me on this.
I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. I'm just saying, I'm not here to tell you that this season isn't about Caleb Williams and we're not getting anxious to get his career started and everybody is worked up and excited in part because of that. But Tyson Bagent went 2-2 last year, and you can win half your games with him. And their team is better this year than it was last year. So maybe you could do better than you think with him. I don't think the season is over if you lose your quarterback, although it's obviously it's over in a lot of emotional ways and it's a bad thing. And I hope to God, I can't believe you made me even bring that sentence to the air. I don't want to see that happen at all in any way. You forced me.
Okay.
You goaded me. But I do think that there is nothing behind. You know, we saw what no Montez Sweat looked like in the first half of last year, and it included 0-for-4.
Okay. I know that's true. I think that's an oversimplification of what happened in the first month.
That's fair.
This is the first September 4th, his birthday, that he celebrated as a Chicago Bear. His arrival changed the complexion of the season. I get that as well. But I do think the only way I would counter what you just said is that the drop-off for me is greater. As much as, you know, I'm a proud founding member of the Bajency.
You claim to be.
Well, I claim to be.
You quickly ran out on it.
No, I believe it. I still have my card.
I'm guessing his father regrets letting you win right now.
The drop-off between Caleb Williams and Tyson Bagent is greater than the drop-off between Montez Sweat and his replacement. Or Montez Sweat and the way the Bears defense would perform without him. Which is the way I should phrase it.
I don't know that I agree with that.
I should say the Bears offense would struggle without Caleb Williams more than the Bears defense would struggle without Montez Sweat.
Yeah, I can't go there.
Okay.
I don't know that I agree with that.
I don't need you to agree with me. I
understand, but I'm just saying I think that the drop off without Sweat is pretty bad.
It could be. But there are ways to get to the quarterback. There are ways you could create pressure. There are replacements that are adequate. Quarterback is an ultimate difference maker in every aspect of this season, every aspect of every game. I hope it's not an issue. I hope both guys play 17 games. That's the perfect scenario. If both guys play 17 games, this is a playoff team. This is a playoff contender. This is a playoff roster right now. That's the good news. That's the takeaway from 5 episodes of Hard Knocks, from 5-6 weeks of training camp as we await the Titans to arrive on the lakefront on Sunday. This is a playoff team, potentially. You can say that. It's the first time we've been able to say that in a while.
Yeah. Let's wait and see what happens a little bit. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think, again, I'd like to see one of those two teams ahead of them falter. And I don't know what that looks like. I'm surprised at how many people are picking the Lions to be a Super Bowl team. The Lions, of course, have never won the Super Bowl. They're one of the few franchises that has never done it.
And yeah, but.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, but.
So they paid all their players, and you feel like that this could be their year? Okay.
I don't know if Jared Goff can duplicate that kind of success. Maybe I'm a Goff skeptic a little bit.
I think it's fair.
Dan Campbell, would you say, is the biggest reason why they lost that game and weren't in the Super why the Lions weren't in the Super Bowl last year? I don't know if talent-wise they've gotten any worse.
Have you seen his commercial?
No.
He's got a commercial where he like walks up to, I don't know what it's for, but it's like he's the server and he walks up and he's got these headphones on and he leans down to the table and he's like going to take an order and they're like, and he's like, lift your menu up to block your mouth so no one can, they'll steal your order. It's very funny. He's actually not a bad actor.
He's a character.
Yeah.
He's a definite character. The NFL needs more guys like Dan Campbell. I will say that. If Dan Campbell were the head coach in our market,
and his he'd going be for it fascinating. On fourth down and that whole that didn't work for you.
Yeah. Let's just say Dan Campbell, I like him more as a character than I do as a football coach.
If he got out of his own way a little bit, he'd have won.
I love the way that he gets teams ready to play. I love all that meatball stuff and, you know, run through a brick wall and the things that he says. I love the fact that he feels like he can – his idea about coaching you is getting his team more motivated than your team and the opponent. But I do have questions about the way he is on game days. I can't get past that.
I think that's fair. What about the flower?
I really like the flower.
Is he the best coach in the division?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Matt LaFleur is the best coach in the division. And the numbers back that up.
Would you like to go see a Marquette basketball game with him?
I definitely think that that would be an enjoyable experience, even if we happen to be sitting next to each other by happenstance.
Yeah.
Coincidence.
Yeah, okay.
Pure coincidence. I'm getting a lot of feedback on the text line about ways to get to the quarterback without Sweat. Please explain.
I do wonder about that, though. I do wonder about it. I think you can survive. It's an Applebee's commercial. Thank you to the texter. It's very funny. It's very funny because he's yelling at poor just customers to keep them.
Welcome to Applebee's. Can I interest you in America's favorite boneless wings for just 50 cents each?
I have the 50 cent bone.
Cover your mouth. They could steal your order.
I'll have the 50 cent boneless wings.
I'll have the same.
Perfect. They'll never see it coming.
He makes me laugh. He makes me laugh.
I hope you laugh like that when you go for a fourth
exactly.
down. Yeah.
I don't get the whole fourth down thing.
Yeah.
Here's another question while we're talking about coaching and approaches and the fourth down approach. I said this on the podcast with Dan Weider, the Take the North podcast. What will Matt Eberflus's fourth down approach be with Torrey Taylor? And will having a legitimate punter and a weapon like that change the way you think about fourth down?
As long as you got a pass rusher and a punter, you can win the Super Bowl.
Who said that? Nobody said that.
No one's ever said that.
Nobody's ever said that.
But that was kind of, I mean, that the Bears have in previous years run offenses centered around the
yes, but I, you know what I mean? We're I talking know. About Dan Campbell and how crazy his fourth down approach is, or is it?
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, it makes me nervous if I were a Lions fan about that approach, because we've seen it backfire in big moments. It's also seen it work in big moments. If you're Matt Eberflus, do you change the way you view metrics and fourth and short or fourth and three?
Because you have the punter.
Because you drafted the punter, mm-hmm. and now he's a weapon, and you're going to play the field position game.
So if you decide you want to go for it, the punter would prevent you from doing so because, wait a minute, why do I have to go for it? I can pin the ball on the 3-yard
exactly.
line.
Exactly. I wonder if the presence of Torrey yeah. Taylor will make Matt Eberflus more conservative on fourth down.
Interesting.
And I don't know if we know the answer to that until we are actually in a game, in a situation where it's fourth and four and the ball is at the 44-yard line. I don't know.
Can you make Matt Eberflus more conservative on fourth down?
Well,
is it possible?
I do wonder about that because yeah. you got the presence of Shane Waldron now, a new voice in his head in terms of a new thing to consider, and you have a punter as well to kind of tempt him to be even more conservative than he has been.
It's fun stuff.
It's fun.
And we've got the injury report. We're going to be able to tear that apart tomorrow. Are we making our picks? Are we not choosing?
We are tomorrow. Yes. Be prepared. This is what you okay. got to do tonight.
Right.
This is
Hold
the homework.
Let me write it down.
We want the Bears record.
Who? Oh, I mean, yes.
We want the division winners in each yeah. conference.
Okay.
And we want the Super Bowl. And we want Dustin and Brandon involved here so we can bring back how ridiculously off base they will be.
No, I think it should just be you two.
No.
I don't think so. Why?
You have to do
Uh-oh.
It too.
Uh-oh.
He's mad because no one bought his Montez.
It might take too long.
We actually do already have the Bears record from each one of you guys.
Yeah, well, all we three. Can change
but
it.
But y'all can change it, of course.
All right. So we're going to do the record, the division winners, and the Super Bowl. Do we need MVP? Bears MVP.
Bears MVP. Did you see? Somebody had
How's
Goff
that?
As the MVP. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's a notice me pick.
Okay. Did you notice?
I did.
Okay,
you did. Don't you,
you
think so?
I just couldn't believe it.
Okay. That's obscure for being the sake of being obscure.
Yes, thank you. All right, we've got our homework assignment, and we're going to talk to Dan and Lawrence next. Is it a Layla Wednesday?
It is a Layla Wednesday, I believe.
Oh,
yes.
God. How about that? Tell me Christmas doesn't come, I don't know, every Wednesday. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started.
Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.